So for the last 2 weeks, we've reflected on positive biblical representations of same-sex intimacy through the stories of David and Jonathan and Ruth and Naomi. And today I want to consider some of the ways that Scripture challenges our ideas about gender and gender roles. But first, I think maybe we should talk a little bit about what gender means. And I'll caveat that to say, at least as far as I understand it. Gender, I think, is actually a quite complex topic. Biological sex refers to the characteristics of our physical bodies, but our culture often ignores the wide diversity of nature and tries to demand that everyone's body fall into a male-female binary. And we use these labels sometimes to keep people in their assigned place. And I think one reason we do this is power. It allows patriarchy to flourish, putting the male above the female. Another reason is the basic human need to try to understand and create meaning from how things are. We analyze and classify to try to bring order to chaos. We invent boxes for people and things so that we can kind of create this illusion that the world is neat and orderly and therefore easily understood and controlled. It all gives us a sense of security. And so we love to make up binaries so that we can say something is this or that, good or bad, male or female. But of course, binaries are rarely actually binaries. They're usually spectrums with a wide range of in between. With gender, though, culture constructs this thing on top of male-female binaries. That's what gender is. It's a social construction. Once we've put people into their box, we try to assign meaning to those boxes by giving each box rules and expectations about how men and women should look and talk and act. But what about people who don't fit into those boxes, for whom living authentically means defying culture's heteronormative male-female boxes? The effeminate man, the butch woman, transgender people, non-binary people, and so on. People who are often ostracized and marginalized precisely because they don't fit into the boxes. Well, the Bible, like gender, is also very complex. It too fails to fit nicely into boxes. We find, of course, rules and stories in the Bible that reinforce the walls around a male-female gender binary. But we also find positive stories that challenge and even try to tear down those walls. For example, in the Gospels of Mark and Luke, Jesus tells two of his disciples to go into the city to find a man carrying a jar of water. And to us, that seems probably quite unremarkable until we stop and think about it. If Jesus had said to find a woman carrying water, how would they have identified her? There were probably many women carrying water jugs. In Jesus' day, it was considered, quote, woman's work. But a man carrying water is going to stand out, be easily identified because he was not the norm. He was defying the gender box and pushing the boundaries, and yet this character is not criticized, but simply mentioned as if it were a usual thing to see. We also have characters like Deborah from the book of Judges, who was a woman, but also a judge, a prophet, and a military leader, all of which are roles typically assigned to the male box in the Bible. And it's worth noting too that the Apostle Paul recognizes the entire Jesus movement as one that defies gender boxes, writing in the book of Galatians that there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus himself mentions eunuchs in the Gospel of Matthew, seemingly holding them up as an admirable spiritual path for some, but perhaps not for everyone. But by holding up the eunuch, he thereby undermines cultural expectations of gender. The eunuch was a threat to gender roles of Jesus' day, challenging the concept of what it meant to be masculine. Now, a eunuch referred to a castrated man, but also more broadly to any man who couldn't have children. The term could also be used symbolically, perhaps for someone that today we might think of as homosexual. Some eunuchs gained fame as male prostitutes, as castration was sometimes used as a way of prolonging the beauty of youth. Other eunuchs achieved positions of authority. Because they couldn't reproduce, they weren't seen as a threat to whatever king or emperor might have employed them. Eunuchs were considered a sexual minority, though, in the context of Jewish religion in Jesus' time. Judaism prohibited them from becoming a part of the religious community of Israel. Those named as eunuchs in Jesus' day might be known as queer or as a part of the LGBT community in today's world. Certainly, people who identify as queer or trans or non-binary might see a bit of themselves in the eunuch, especially, I think, in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch from the book of Acts. In that story, the eunuch was an outsider three times over, a gender variant foreigner from a racial minority. And on one hand, he was a trusted court official in Ethiopia. And on the other hand, although he was clearly interested in worshiping the God of Israel, he would not have been allowed to convert to Judaism because of his status as a eunuch. He was marginalized, kept on the periphery of respectability, looked down upon as someone unacceptably different, like the church and our culture have often done to the LGBTQ community. But the story that we find in Acts is one of welcome, where Jesus' ministry with an unconditional acceptance of marginalized people is continued through the disciple Philip. Philip explains to the Ethiopian the good news about who Jesus was and how God's love is for everyone. And then the Ethiopian asks if there is anything that would keep him from being baptized. To which Philip responds by immediately baptizing him in the nearby river. He shows no concern about the eunuch's gender identity, sexual orientation, or their race. He sees only a valuable and worthy human being who is seeking God's love. Now, some have suggested Philip as a patron saint of the queer community because he welcomes and empowers a queer person. It seemed to me when I was reading that we don't need necessarily a presumably straight saint for the queer community. That even feels a little condescending. Philip, I think, would make a great patron saint for LGBTQ allies, as the commentator Kittredge Cherry proposes. But if we're looking for saints, I think perhaps the Ethiopian eunuch himself would make a better LGBTQ saint for queer people. They don't let cultural norms and the threat of rejection keep them from God. But they followed the advice of the prophet Isaiah, who tells those who don't fit not to denigrate themselves, for they are loved by God. The only thing that is important to God, according to Isaiah, is that we try to do what is right, that we work for justice, that we treat people kindly and fairly and challenge others to do so as well. And for those who do this while rejected by the church and by their culture, Isaiah says God will create a special place of honor for them. Those of us who can identify with the Ethiopian eunuch, whether as African under conditions of colonialism or racism, or as sexually marginalized under conditions of heterosexism and homophobia and transphobia, can be empowered by this story, recognizing our own special place in the family of God. And we might also take inspiration from another gender-bending story in the Hebrew Bible, which I want to mention just briefly as well. And that's the story of Joseph. You might know this story from the Bible, or you might have seen the musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Yes. Well, the late theologian and scholar Ted Jennings claims that Joseph is portrayed in the Bible story, for all intents and purposes, as a eunuch himself, troubling the gender categories that circulate around the edges of that story. Now, we know Joseph as the boy with the so-called coat of many colors, but the exact meaning of the Hebrew words that described that garment are actually uncertain. Some scholars now believe it might be better translated as a long robe with sleeves. Interestingly, though, the only other place in the Bible where a garment is described using the same uncertain words is the story of the Rape of Tamar, where the garment is said to be borne by the virgin daughters of kings. In other words, in the story of Joseph, he's shown favor by his father Jacob through a gift of what would have been understood by everyone else as a fancy woman's robe. Instead of working with his brothers in the fields, Joseph is taken away from so-called, quote, manly work and made a kind of domestic overseer, a role that he actually would assume throughout his life. And his brothers, as the story goes, strip Joseph of the robe and sell him into slavery after their father Jacob sends Joseph out to the fields to check up on them. It seems they might have acted not only out of jealousy of their father's favor, but because Joseph was too far out of the cultural boxes that they had for gender roles. And the story goes on as well. It's actually one of the longer stories in the Hebrew Bible. Joseph, despite being a slave, rises to places of authority in Egypt, often the subject of male desire in a seemingly eunuch-like role. And even though Joseph has two children of his own after he's reunited with his father Jacob, those children are claimed by Jacob, leaving Joseph in the end without progeny, also eunuch-like. Now, all of these stories that I've mentioned, Joseph, the Ethiopian eunuchs, the others, challenge the strict walls that culture attempts to put around gender, which, as I said, gender is really just a social construction. It's what we define it to be. But these stories blur the boundaries of those definitions and invite us to courageously be true to ourselves. God has created a fabulous diversity in the garden of humanity. And whether we identify as cisgender or transgender or non-binary or want to use some other descriptor or no labels at all, you are precious and wonderful and loved just as you are. As the prophet Isaiah says, God doesn't want us to change. God simply wants us to be true to ourselves and work for justice, that everyone everywhere might find healing and be able to live authentically in their lives. Amen.